Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Let's give the Lord praise right now. Jesus, we love you. Hallelujah. God, you are so good, Jesus. Lord, thank you, Lord, for all you've done, God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. If you would just remain standing for a moment. Amen. Actually, you know what? Be seated. I'll be seated for just a moment. Amen. I wanted to take a moment, and I know that some of our men went to the men's retreat, and we had a very good time. It was relaxing. I love the schedule that they have. We had some fun, but even the main speaker, he said, sometimes these retreats, they're all about playing the baseball game. And they're not really about worshiping God, and that comes secondary. But in our men's retreat here in Connecticut, we have a great time in the Lord. And so we've gotten, I want to say, at least over 10 to go to these retreats in the past couple years. But I wonder if somebody could just try to put a mental note, make a commitment to go next year, if the Lord lets us, if the Lord tarries, to go next year. Amen. And I know some were not there that could have been there, but take a day off. That's all it does. Take a Friday off. You go Thursday night, Friday, and Saturday. I wonder if any of our men that went to men's retreat have a testimony, very short, of what God did for you at men's retreat. Come on, Brother Ryan.
Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. I don't, for me, it just it seemed like everything that was spoken about was just on time and exactly what I need to hear. And just to be with other men praising and worshiping and fellowshipping, that's definitely something that I need and I look forward to. And just everybody that preached the word was only thing I could say is just on fire. Yeah. And our pastor, he spoke, and with Pastor Greeley, with when he's preaching to men, he's preaching to men. I could have sworn I seen fire coming out of his eyes. Yeah. It was, it's incredible. It's definitely feeds the soul.
Very good.
That's all I got.
Praise the Lord. All right. Anybody else? Brother Roy.
I'm a visitor man here on occasions, and I'm really happy to be here. You have a great church here. Don't ever sell yourself short. This is a fantastic body of Christ. I love you people. And we had a great time. And the one key thing I take away from that is unity. We are unified. We're a brotherhood of unity. There was no disunity. We were together, all together, from the highest to the lowest, from the furthest this way to that way, and in the Spirit. And we all got some good stuff from that. And I would just encourage every man to be there every time, chance we get. It's a beautiful thing. Thank God for the unity of the Spirit.
Awesome. Let's clap our hands to the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I tell you what, if you missed the opportunity to go, they are going to put the recordings of the messages up on the district website. You go on the ctdistrict.org, click on media, and the media will be up there. The recordings will be up there. And I encourage every single man in our church to go and listen to Pastor Greeley's message from Friday morning. Every single one of us. I'm challenging you. If you're a man and you're here today, go listen to that message. and it will help you. It will transform you. Amen? Praise God. Some people are going right now. Bookmark the page. Praise the Lord. It's good to have our guests here today. I see some new faces. I did get a chance to meet, and I'm forgetting most of the names. I think, is it Nathaniel? Who's with you, Brother Cottle? Introduce them. Anthony, thank you. Tammy. Yep. Aphrodite. And I believe they're going to get baptized today. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Thank you so much for being here. Praise the Lord. You can be seated. You can be seated. Thank you. Amen. That's amazing. And this family here in the back, good-looking couple back here. Praise the Lord. It's good to have you. Amen. Very good to have you. We love you. Some people are like, oh, don't put the spotlight on me. But you guys are a spotlight to yourselves. Amen. You look nice. Praise the Lord. I don't know. Anybody else? I'm going to miss somebody. Praise the Lord. Why don't we stand together? Delianus, it's good to have you. Welcome back. Praise the Lord. Isaiah chapter 4, verse 5. Isaiah 4, verse 5. It says, and the Lord will create upon every dwelling place of Mount Zion and upon her assemblies a cloud and smoke by day, and the shining of a flaming fire by night. For upon all the glory shall be a defense. That's talking about the church. Church of the living God. It's the dwelling place of God. Amen. It's the assembly of God. And He puts His Spirit in us. Amen. He puts that light in us. He's baptized us. Amen. And we have His glory. His glory is upon us. All in the church. Hallelujah. Amen. Verse 6 says this. And there shall be a tabernacle for a shadow in the daytime from the heat, and for a place of refuge, and for a covert from storm and from rain. Jesus is my refuge and my hiding place. Hallelujah. Can we pray? Jesus, come to us today, Lord God. Show us, Lord, who You are, God. Show us that You're the shelter, Lord God. Show us that You're the hiding place and the refuge, Lord Jesus. God, come, Lord Jesus, and into our minds, Lord God, and open our understanding today, God, concerning the Scriptures. Lord, how that You are a safe place, Lord, from every storm, God. Hallelujah. Reveal to us today that we can trust in You, Lord God, with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength, Lord Jesus. We praise You. We thank You. We love You, God. Bless us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you so much for standing and praying. You may be seated. My purpose today is for us to understand and for the Lord to show us that He is the tabernacle that will shield us from the storms of life. He's our refuge and our hiding place in every single storm. Verse 6, Isaiah 4, 6. And I just want to say that I went through a storm recently. My brother passed away a few months ago. And the day that I found out, my dad called me. And my dad hardly ever calls me. I might get two calls from him a year. And so I knew something was wrong. And he told me that they'd found my brother and he was dead. And that they were trying to confirm some things, but that was kind of like the middle of the storm. But that morning, I was reading my Bible, as I do, and this verse is what I came across. And I thought, Jesus, You are the refuge. You are the hiding place. You are the shelter. And so when I got that phone call, it was almost as if God was telling me, it's going to be okay. Just trust Me. Just hope in Me. And so that's where I'm coming from today. is that's a storm that I would never ask or put on anybody. I wouldn't want anybody to go through that. But since that time, I've talked to probably a dozen people that are going through some of the same things. Matter of fact, even that weekend, another minister in our church, we were dropping James off Sunday afternoon to camp, and he came up behind me and put his hand on my shoulder. And Brother Milton Valdez, and I asked him, "How you doing, Brother Milton?" And he said, "I'm having a very rough month." And he said, "They found my brother's body in the street." And I said, "Brother Milton, we did everything we could to help them. That happened to me too." And it just wasn't a coincidence that God had helped me get through this storm. And it still hurts. It's still painful. And I still have some things that we're going through. But I'm confident in the Lord Jesus Christ more than ever before that He is able to keep us in the worst storms of life. He's able to keep us whenever there is trouble. Let's read this verse again. "And there shall be a tabernacle for a shadow in the daytime from the heat, and for a place of refuge, and for a covert from storm and from rain." This verse is the first prophecy of the Lord Jesus Christ in the book of Isaiah. It's the first messianic prophecy given by Isaiah. Amen. And Isaiah was saying that there would come a time when the Almighty God would come and tabernacle among us. And we know that God was made flesh and dwelt among us. That God Almighty, that great Spirit that created the heavens and the earth, it wasn't enough for Him to be some remote or some untouchable or unseeable deity dwelling in heaven and never touching earth. But God had to come and save His people. He had to become Emmanuel, God with us. Tabernacle among us. Be here. Feel what we feel. Know what we know. Do what we do. And still be in complete and total trust of the Spirit of God. 1 Timothy 3:16 says, "And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory." How many are thankful that you know that God Almighty didn't just stay up in heaven somewhere while the rest of us suffered, but He came and He robed Himself in flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. Amen. And He was touched by the feeling of our infirmities. Amen. To become the high priest over us all and to know what it's like to be human. Amen. He's Emmanuel, God with us. He's Jehovah, Lord of hosts. He's the first. He's the last. He's the Almighty. Amen. He's the ever-present Spirit that fills the universe. Amen. And He's here. He's our advocate. He became our high priest. Amen. He came to sacrifice His life. Amen. For our lives. Praise the Lord. And give His own life for our sins. Amen. And I'm so thankful. Is anybody thankful that you know who Jesus is? That He tabernacled among us. That He became that shade. He became that shelter. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. So Isaiah, he's making this prophetic statement about the Messiah. And he makes this promise about the Lord of heaven. First, that He would be a shadow from the heat. Does anybody ever feel like life kind of beats you down? Sometimes it's just like it doesn't stop. My dad used to work out in the desert. We grew up in Nevada, Las Vegas. And he used to go out and they would start very early in the morning. They would start at 5 a.m. because by 2 p.m. it was unbearable. They had to get off work. And he would come home and he would just be red, just like almost the color of your shirt, Dianara. Amen. Brother Tony's got the same color shirt. Praise the Lord. I just noticed that. I noticed it for you. Praise the Lord. But he'd come home and his skin would be dark red. And that was on Monday. And he had five more days or four more days of that. Sometimes he'd work all week. And the sun just would not stop. It's not going to stop shining because you got a sunburn on Monday. And he'd have to go out there day after day after day and just have the sun. Thank God I work in an office. Hallelujah. Somebody had to build those buildings. So, amen. And if you're in construction, I appreciate you. God is good. Thank you. Praise the Lord. But, you know, the sun just doesn't stop just because you're hot. Anybody been standing out on a hot, sunny day and you just kind of feel the burn? You feel the sun on the back of your neck or on your forehead? And I get bright red. I get so red in the sun. Amen. And so I got to be careful because I'll be hurting for a week. The sun just beats down on you. It beats down on you. And that's how life can be. Life can be to where one bad thing happens and you know that there's going to be consequences for the rest of the month. And you just got to bear it. You got to grin and bear it. And you know that the next day is going to be hard. And the day after that's going to be hard. And sometimes you just like, I don't know when this is going to stop. But I'm telling you today that Jesus is the shade. He's the shadow for you to get relief when you need relief. And His shade is the rest that you don't ever have to leave. You can be beaten up by life. You can have the sun beaten down, life beaten down on you. And after today, you can be in the shade of the Almighty and never have to leave. That's the power of a tabernacle. I mean of a tent. Is it can go with you. It can be the shade for you for all the rest of your days and into eternity. Trust in Jesus. Get into Jesus. Get into the shade. Get under the shadow of the Almighty. Praise the Lord. And never have to walk out again. He will be the rest for you. He will be the refreshing for you. Amen. That will help you through the hottest, hardest days in your life. Does anybody believe that? Is anybody under the shadow of the Almighty? Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. The second part of Isaiah's prophetic promise of Jesus is that He will be a refuge. Question, do you ever feel worried about all the dangers of life? Somebody said no, because they're already in Christ. Not only do you have concerns for today, but also about what will happen tomorrow. How am I going to pay that bill at the end of the week? How am I going to make it through tomorrow? I've got these dangers, these pressures on the outside. But I'm here to tell you that Jesus is the refuge. That you can feel safe from all the dangers that may arise. Because He is my shield and my defense from danger. Amen. The Lord will be a defense to all. Hallelujah. If you'll just get into Jesus and let Jesus get into you. Amen. He will be that defense, that shield. Amen. To quench the fiery darts of the wicked. To quench every assault of the enemy. Amen. To stop every assault on your life. Amen. He can be the refuge for you, the safe place for you, the place where no evil can touch you. Amen. Do you believe that? Hallelujah. I know it's Sunday, but I'm trying to wake you up today. Praise the Lord. This is good stuff. This is what the promises of God are. Hallelujah. This is the word of the Lord. Somebody's got to get this today. You might already have it, but there's somebody sitting next to you they're worried about tomorrow. They've got something going on in their life, and they know that attack is coming. And they need hope today. So if you have hope this morning, if you have Jesus as a shield and as a refuge, I need you to worship the Lord. I need you to trust in God. I need you to declare it. Jesus, you are my refuge. Hallelujah. 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 Praise the Lord. Amen. The last part of this wonderful promise is that Jesus is our hiding place. He's our hiding place from the storm and from the rain. The word here used in the King James Version is covert. Covert. Same kind of word they use for like covert operations. It's a hidden operation. Amen. Covert literally translates to a concealed place or a secret place of safety. Question, do you ever feel like you've come under attack and you wish you can hide from all the pressure that you've been put under? Of course. You know, just because you're in Christ doesn't mean the devil's going to stop trying to attack you. I'm just here to tell you the truth today. You have the choice as to whether or not you're going to be hidden from the attacks of the enemy in Jesus, or you're going to be out in the open, a sitting duck, by yourself. You have the choice. Because the devil cannot do to you what God will not allow. Amen. And 1 John chapter 5 says that the enemy cannot touch those that are in Christ. Amen. David said it like this. Psalm 61:1. Hear my cry, O God. Attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For thou hast been a shelter for me, and a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. I will trust in the covert of thy wings. Selah. Come on, when the devil tries to attack you, when life tries to beat you down, you need a hiding place. You need a place where you can run into and be safe. You need a place where you can trust under the wings of the Almighty. The covert from the storm and from the rain. Amen. The hiding place that Jesus can put you in. Amen. Where the enemy cannot find you. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. If you've been feeling overwhelmed, and this is where, if you go back to verse number two, Brother Andre, this is where there's a transition here. Because we're not talking about literal storms. We're not talking about some rain that's falling. Yeah, we can get through a storm. We can weather a natural storm. But what happens when the floodwaters rise in your heart? When the dark clouds start rolling into your mind, what happens when you start feeling overwhelmed by the things that are happening around you? And David said this, when my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Does anybody appreciate the fact that Jesus is a rock that you can hold on to, that you can hide under, that you can get under and you can trust in, and it's a safe place. And there's nothing that the enemy can do. There's nothing that that storm can do to touch your life because you are in Him. Hallelujah. Let's clap our hands to the Lord. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. If you've been feeling overwhelmed and you need a hiding place, why don't you cry out to Jesus today? Why don't we lift up our hands right now and cry unto the Lord Almighty? Jesus, I love you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, that you're that covert. You're that safe place. You're the rock, Lord God, that I hide under, Jesus, when the storms of life come in. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Romans 8:38 says this. Paul said, "For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Amen. There is nothing that can touch you if you are in the love of God. There is nothing that can touch you, that can harm you. I'm here to convince somebody today, because you have been facing a storm. You have had that pressure of life put upon you. Amen. And maybe sometimes we forget how safe Jesus is, how great He is, how He's under control. He's got everything under control. Hallelujah. In everything that happens in our life. If only you knew how much Jesus loves you. Amen. And He desires for you to enter into the shelter of His arms. Praise the Lord. Jesus loves you too much to let the enemy harm you. Jesus loves you too much to let trials in your life pull you down. Hallelujah. Song of Solomon says this. This is how God feels about you, my friend. He says, "Oh, my dove." This is the Lord speaking to you this morning. "Oh, my dove, that are in the clefts of the rock, in the secret places of the stairs, let me see thy countenance. Let me hear thy voice. For sweet is thy voice, and thy countenance is comely." Comely means beautiful. This is how much God loves you, my friend. Is that He's waiting for the moment that you will turn towards Him and look to Him and speak to Him. He loves you that much. And you think, "Wait, there's so much going on around me. There's too many other voices trying to speak to me. I'm in the middle of a storm." And Jesus is just waiting for you to turn towards Him. Amen. And waiting for you to lift up your voice and cry to Him. And waiting for you to look to Him for salvation. Amen. And the love doesn't grow cold with God, where He gets tired of seeing your face. But every single morning when you enter into prayer and into His presence, He's there waiting with open arms. He was waiting all night, my friend, for you to wake up in the morning and say, "Good morning, Jesus. I love you, Jesus." The voice of the beloved is sweet to God. And it doesn't matter how loud the storm is, He still's waiting to hear your voice. And He can hear your voice louder than any storm. Amen. Does somebody believe that? Can we just take a moment then, stand to our feet? Can we stand to our feet right now? Say, "God, I love you, Jesus. I love you, Lord. Come on, let Him hear your voice today. Turn your heart towards God this morning. Hallelujah. Oh, come on, God's been waiting for this. Hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, you love my voice, God. No one else may listen to me, God, but you are hearing my voice. No one else knows the storm I'm going through, but you hear my voice, God. Hallelujah. Come on, don't stop. Somebody needs to feel a breakthrough right now. Hallelujah. Somebody needs to get in the eye of the storm, the calm in the midst of the storm. Hallelujah. Oh, glory, God. Glory, glory, glory. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Yes, let's clap our hands. You feel that storm lifting right now. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. We've already had a moment with the Lord. We could go home right now and be happy. We've already had the presence of the Lord. I want to equip you. I want you to have some knowledge today that will help you, because storms don't stop coming, my friend. So let's look at the origin of storms. In fact, we could call this the mother of all storms. They have Moab, the mother of all bombs. Mother of all storms. I'm talking about the flood. Let's look, Genesis chapter 6, verse 5. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Can you imagine living? Oh, wait, you don't have to imagine living in a world like this. Because it doesn't take long for you to turn on the news or bring up YouTube or however you consume media and know that we're in a generation that does not love God, that is opposed to God, that would love to get God out of every part of our society and every part of our culture. We're just about there, if not already there. Thank God for you people that love the Lord and that have found grace in the eyes of the Lord. So this is relevant even today. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Peter calls Noah a preacher of righteousness. Before we get to the storm, Peter calls Noah a preacher of righteousness. 2 Peter 2:5 says, and spare not the old world, but save Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. So Noah preached. God spoke to Noah and gave him these instructions, but he preached. He was a preacher of righteousness. Some people say, well, he was preaching by building the ark. But if you knew how long it was before the ark was built and completed, maybe you'd change your mind. How long did Noah preach? Genesis 6:3. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh. Yet his days shall be 120 years. This is before God ever spoke to Noah. God spoke and said, your time's running out, man. Some people think that this is talking about how old people would live. But if you read your Bible, you'll find that there were people after the flood that lived over 500 years. That lived way longer than 120 years. My friends, this was the time clock that God was putting on the world before He ever spoke to Noah. He said, you got 120 years left, man. And He was talking about all mankind. So Noah preached for at least 100 years. Crazy thing is that Noah was out there building the ark and preaching for at least 100 years. And Jesus said that even though He preached for 100 years, they still didn't understand. And they were totally caught off guard when the waters started to rise. Matthew 24:37. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating, drinking, marrying, and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark and knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. So they were completely ignoring Noah, Pastor. Noah was out there preaching. He had a hammer in one hand and a bucket of pitch in the other hand. And he's preaching to those people. And they're probably looking around going, what in the world is Noah doing? Why is he abusing his children and making them help build this ark? What? I'm telling you what, the world will tell you that bringing your children into the house of God is somehow abuse. They will. That's not in my notes, but it's true. I wouldn't even put that in my notes, actually. But it's true. It's already happened in my life. Well, how could you show them something and tell them that it's true? The Bible is right. Hallelujah to the Lamb. And that old song says, I know the Bible is right, somebody's wrong. And it ain't Jesus. Amen, sister. Praise God. You got to wake up as to what's going on around you in the world. Repent and obey the gospel. You see all of this happening just like Jesus prophesied. It's going to be just like the days of Noah. You need to go to end times class on Sunday this evening at 6 o'clock at the pastor's house. 1 Woodview Drive in Ledyard. Praise the Lord. Learn about what the Bible says. Amen. You can read the rest of the story. I'm not going to read. It's Genesis chapter 6 through 10. I'm not going to read the whole story. Amen. How that God gives Noah instructions to build the ark that would save him and his family. And God commands in Genesis chapter 7. God commands Noah. He says, it's time, Noah. Take 2 of every animal and a male and a female. Amen. I'm wondering why God let Noah take skunks on the ark. I'm going to ask him when I get up to heaven. Praise the Lord. And 7 of every clean animal that would be used for food and sacrifice. Genesis 7:1. And the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark. For thee I have seen righteousness before me in this generation. Noah, no one's responded to your preaching except for your family. Bring your family into the ark. And 7 days later, if you read the story, 7 days later, the flood waters started to rise. And the Bible says that God broke open the fountains of the deep. And God broke open the heavens. And rain started to come down 40 days and 40 nights. It was such a great flood. It says that And it describes it in levels that it rose over the hills by 15 cubits. And it rose over the mountains by 15 cubits. The highest peak of the earth was covered 15 cubits upward. That's the span from the tip of a man's fingers to the bottom of his elbow. The flood waters just rose, and all life on the planet, all that breathed there, died in the flood. Amen. That's why today, archaeologists and who are the people that look for fossils? Is that archaeologists? Paleontologists. Thank you. My kid tells me, I want to be a paleontologist. I'm like, I don't even know what you're talking about. Hallelujah. But that's why paleontologists have found sea creature fossils at the top of Mount Everest. Okay. I know if I bring all the evidence and put it on a PowerPoint, you'll believe it, right? That's why in the deserts of Nevada, at the highest peaks, there's seashell fossils. Because God really did cover the entire earth with water. And it was covered for 150 days. Talk about terraforming. You look at the Grand Canyon today, that's what happened when the waters receded. Amen. I know you guys are all like, I'm telling you, answers in Genesis. Look it up. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Because if you can't believe the account of Noah, if you can't believe Genesis, then our faith is in vain. All right? 150 days, waters covering the whole earth. And it took that long for the waters to be reabsorbed into the earth. And by all accounts, the flood, there's actually flood stories in just about every culture. China has a flood story. In fact, the word flood, if you look at the character of the word flood, it's eight men in a boat. You can Google all this. Please do. Praise the Lord. So every culture in the world has a flood story. And that's because this is a true story. This is a flood. This is a storm of epic proportions like the world has never seen before and will never see again. Jesus promises us that. Amen. So there were those that were saved in the flood. And thank God there was an ark of safety. Thank God there was a place that they could hide from the storm. Thank God. Because if not, none of us would be here. Hallelujah. If God can save Noah and his family from the greatest storm that has ever occurred, God can save you, my friend. He can hide you. He can save you. And He can keep you in every storm in your life. Hallelujah. 1 Peter 3:20 says, which sometime were disobedient, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was a-preparing, wherein few, that is eight souls, were saved by water. The like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us. Not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience towards God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Thank God you can be saved from every single storm. It doesn't matter if it's a storm that's set on fire from hell. Amen. You can be saved from that storm if you will get in that water. If you'll get the sins washed out of your life. If you'll open up your heart and your mind and worship and let God come into you, His Spirit will come into you. Amen. You'll be in the Spirit and the Spirit will be in you, and you can weather every single storm in your life. Amen. If anybody knows what I'm talking about, would you lift up your hands? Give the Lord praise today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. He will save us. He will save us. Praise God. So let me show you this, because this is so interesting, because this is where storms, natural storms, come from. Storms in life are a given. You don't even have a choice in the matter. I wish I could choose. I'm not going to go to that storm, and I'm not going to go through this storm. You just don't have a choice. Storms just come on you. They will happen. After the floodwaters subsided, Noah brought his family to worship God. Genesis 8:20 records, "And Noah builded an altar unto the Lord, and took of every clean beast and of every clean fowl, and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And the Lord smelled a sweet savor." Amen. Just like our worship earlier. "And the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground any more for man's sake, for the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite any more every living thing as I have done. While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest and cold and heat and summer and winter and day and night shall not cease." Genesis 8:22, that's the origin of storms. Because if you know anything about storms, storms happen when the air of a cold front meets the air of a warm front. Temperature change causes storms. Heat and cold. Winter and summer. Day and night. And that's just the naturally occurring systems on our planet. So if I can convince you today that storms are going to rise in your life, but you can have a safe place to weather every single storm, would you get baptized? Amen. If you haven't been baptized today, get baptized. Get in Christ. Amen. And that includes those that weren't baptized the way that the verse behind me on the wall says. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. So then, if God made the promise and guaranteed storms, then storms have to be something in the will of God. Storms are a reminder that we need to secure our life in the Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew 5:45 says that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. Well, God, I'm saved. Don't make me go through a storm. Well, God, I've been going to church for a while. Don't make me go through a storm. Well, God, you can list as long as your arm. You're going to go through a storm in life. It's going to happen. You have the choice whether you want to do it in Jesus or out of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. I'd rather be in Jesus, Pastor. Amen. Always in Jesus. Hallelujah. Could it be that God sends us rain so that we would seek Him and find shelter in Him and in Him alone? Maybe you've been kind of on the edge of that shelter, and you're kind of putting your hand out and going, oh, maybe it's not so bad out there. Maybe you've been playing around and saying, oh, you know what? I'm going to stick my toes out there and see my apostolic toes and see if it's okay, if it's dry enough. No, sir. No, ma'am. Don't do it. Don't do it, young person. Get off your phone and get into the presence of God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Get as close to the center as you possibly can. In Jesus' name. Let's go back to our opening text, Isaiah 4:6. And I'm coming to a close. And there shall be a tabernacle for a shadow in the daytime from the heat, and for a place of refuge, and for a covert from storm and from rain. You know, at the time of Isaiah writing this, the Temple of Solomon was already built and fully operational. It was a grand and beautiful, a great temple. And I wonder if Isaiah was thinking, why would we go back to the tabernacle, to the tent in the wilderness? Why would we go back? Because Isaiah really didn't have a context for Christ. He really didn't understand that this was talking about Jesus. He was just writing what thus saith the Lord. But let me tell you that the greatest and most beautiful edifice, if this church was 10 times bigger, and if this church was the place that everybody came to church, and it was the best place on the planet, nothing compares to Jesus. Nothing compares to being in the Lord. You see, when you're in Jesus and His Spirit is in you, and you have complete and total trust in Him, that little shelter, that little tabernacle, that David looked out into the wilderness and said, I dwell in a palace, and the Lord dwells in a tent. If you're in God, if you're in Christ, and you trust in Him, that little tent is a strong and mighty tower. It's a strong and a mighty tower. Your faith will make that small little tent that looked like something you would pass over. It's the greatest refuge and stronghold you could ever be in. Proverbs chapter 18 says this, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and are safe. Amen. Is anybody in that strong tower today? Stand to your feet. Let's love the Lord this morning. Let's have our faith and trust in Jesus today. Praise God. Hallelujah. God, You are a strong and a mighty tower, Lord Jesus. You're not just a little tent, God. But Lord Jesus, I can weather any storm, God, in You. Hallelujah. 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 Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. You say, well, you know, that sounds real nice, Brother Dyke. That sounds great. But see, it says the righteous. And I'm not righteous. I'm not righteous. I'm not holy. My response to you, my friend, is that there is none righteous. No, not one. In fact, our righteousness before God is as filthy rags. You can clean it with the best detergent and say, oh, look, it's nice and bright, shining white. And you come into the presence of God and He says, no, there's a stain of sin on your life. Your righteousness is nothing. You can't earn your way to heaven. You can't earn your way into Christ. Amen. But you can be obedient to the faith. You can respond to the gospel. You can get baptized. amen, like these wonderful people today, Anthony, Tammy, and Aphrodite, they're going to get baptized this morning. Amen. They're being obedient to the Word of God. Hallelujah. Praise God. So I would say to you, you're not righteous if you're not in Jesus. Amen. If you don't have His Spirit in you, no, you're not righteous. But if you have His Spirit in you, you are righteous, you are holy, you are clean, amen, you are perfect, because God isn't looking, amen, at your past, He's looking at His blood, He's looking at His Spirit, amen, you can be clean, you can be righteous, you can be holy, amen, in the name of the Lord, you can be inside of a strong and a mighty tower. And even that great flood couldn't overflow you. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 9 says, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor adulterers, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. But ye are washed. But ye are sanctified. But ye are justified in the name of the Lord and by the Spirit of our God." Amen. You can have the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Amen. And trust and weather any storm. So you say, how do I become righteous then? I'm glad you asked me. How do I get into the ark? I'm glad you asked. Acts 2:36 says, Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Then Peter said unto them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call." You can get into the ark of safety today, and be completely confident that no matter what storm comes in your life, you are going to be safe. I want to share this one last verse. Colossians 3:1. Look at this. This is amazing. "If ye then be risen with Christ," you repented of your sins. I'm talking to some people that have already repented of their sins. They've already been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And they've already received the resurrection power of the Holy Ghost. Look at this. "If ye been risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead." Well, your old man, that's passed away. That old man that I was, that's gone. "For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God." Your life is hidden from the storms. Your life is in that covert. It's in that cleft of the rock. Hallelujah. And then it says, "For when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with Him in glory." In my opening text, it says, "For upon all the glory shall be a defense." Amen. So, if I call your ticket, I'm just going to say one little more thing. But if I call your ticket, if your name is on that ticket, I want you to come forward. All right? Don't worry, it's designed to get you all to come forward. So maybe you're going through a storm right now. We can start playing. Maybe you're going through a storm right now. Nobody's going through storms. Come on. Come on. If you're going through a storm, come on. And you just need to be reminded of the presence of God. That you belong to Him. And you're safe in Him. So maybe you're not going through something right now. That should be the rest of you. You're not going through something right now. But listen, your storm is on the horizon. It's going to come, Pastor. Storms come. Come and make a declaration today of your hope and of your trust in God. Oh, hallelujah. Why don't we help one another today as we pray, as we seek the presence of God. Remember, He loves you. Your voice to Him is a sweet voice because He loves you. Your face is a beautiful face because He loves you. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's talk to the Lord today. God, remind us. Remind us of Your presence, Lord. Remind us of the peace that passes all understanding, O God. Oh, remind us today, Lord Jesus, that no matter what the storms in life may bring, Lord God, You are here. You're with us, Lord. We are in You. We trust You, God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Come on, somebody, feel the peace.